Welcome. Thank you for watching this teaching video from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. Please check out our other videos and don't forget to like and subscribe. Our mission is to help people come to know Jesus better and love Him more every day. We believe this will not only help our own spiritual growth, but also help us better influence the community and the world for Christ. For more information about Oak Tree, please visit us at oaktreechurch.com. There you'll find past message series, online giving options, and more information about our discipleship process that we call The Path. Now, enjoy this message. We'd love to hear from you in the comments or the website contact form. Thank you.
As we move forward through here, I want to just give a thank you and just... It takes a lot of work to put together something like this. This is not a regular church service, right? It takes a lot of work to put together a regular church service sometimes. But to put together something like this, there's been a lot of planning in the background. There's decorations, there's food, there's our tech team is working very hard, and our musicians are working hard, and cake and other things that I didn't even write down. There's a lot of people who put a lot of work into this, and I just, for me personally, and if you would allow me, on behalf of all of you here today, can we say thank you to those who have put a lot of work in to making this happen today? Some of you will be happy to know we will not be receiving an offering this morning. Oh, I was waiting for the next round of applause. I mean, really, I just... We will not be receiving an offering. We'll not be passing the buckets or the plates, but we do have some blue buckets that will be in the lobby. If you would like to give and offset some of the costs or whatever, feel free as an offering. But there is absolutely no obligation. We have some envelopes on our display out there with a lot of free resources. If you would like to use that, feel free. But that's all I'm going to say about that. If you do have a bulletin, you'll notice that there's a tear-off tab, and what we thought, you can use it for anything, for the most part it's just lines, but we thought it would be nice, maybe as you're connecting with people, rather than pulling out your iPad or your smartphone or whatever and trying to type in names and numbers, sometimes it's just easier to write on paper, isn't it? So we thought maybe just you can tear that tab off, and as you're connecting with people, get some updated phone numbers and names, and then you can take that home. If you have not signed our guest book on the way in, please do that. We would love to have a memory of this. Look at the pictures. During lunch, there will be pictures on the table, and I think we're doing the names, right? Yes, is that right? Yes, there you are. Okay. All right, so here's how it will work, and I'll remind you of this later as well. Here's how it will work. On the pictures, whatever table you're sitting at, there will be pictures scattered across. And frankly, there are a lot of us that we don't recognize some of the people in these pictures. If you recognize them, number one, and you can remember their name, and one might be easier than the other, right? If you can recognize them and remember their name, would you go ahead and flip that picture over and write their name on the back so that we have a memory of that? That would be very, very, very helpful for us. And then when we do get ready to set up for lunch at the end of the service, we'll be bringing tables in here. We'll have to tear the chairs all apart and bring tables in here. If you would like to help, that is great. If you would not like to help, that's fine too. We'll have some space in the lobby. Feel free to take a tour of the building. I don't know that we'll have guided tours available, but if we do, tip your tour guide. And just take a look around. Take a look at the pictures on the wall, the directories that we have in the lobby available, and just enjoy yourself and the company this morning, would you please, as we celebrate what we're doing. Actually, there will be a lot of laughs today. I hope there will be a lot of laughs today, especially if you stay for lunch. And I cringe even saying this because we know how this can happen, but we might even have an open mic for memories. I'm not committed to that. I'm not telling you I'm committed to that, but maybe we'll just keep memories around the tables, but we might. very dangerous. Open mic.
As long as you can turn it off.
Yeah.
That's, you have a mute button, that's okay.
That's what the tech team says about me every Sunday. They say, why are you giving him an open mic? I mean, But you know, over 70 years, it wasn't all laughs, was it? There were a lot of tears. There was a lot of cringy moments, more than just open mics. There was a lot of heartache. There was a lot of pain over the years. And we shed some tears for friends and loved ones who can't be here today. And one reason that many are not here today is because they've already been promoted to glory. So rather than weeping for them, let's envy them. Yes? And look forward to the day when Jesus comes back to take his church home, because that will happen one day, hopefully soon, maybe not. I was talking with a former church member just a few weeks ago who was sharing how bittersweet it was when they left the church. You know, I said, listen, after 70 years, if we don't have any regrets at all, we're just not paying attention, right? We all have regrets. We all have things. Everybody who's been in any leadership role, there are so many things you would love to be able to go back and do differently, wouldn't you? So many things. And that's not just church leadership. That's parents. That's anything. There's so many things as we look back in our history we would love to be able to do differently. But we're still here today. We're still celebrating the faithfulness of God, even through all of our mistakes. Aren't we glad about that? Isn't that awesome? There have been a lot of changes over the years. So this is our first trip down memory lane a little bit. There have been a lot of changes over the years. Some of you thought you recognized me, and you're like, you're a little grayer than the last time I saw you. And I was nice and didn't say that about you, but I can guarantee I was thinking it. Just we're all a little grayer than the last time. All a little grayer than the last time. Things look different, right? People look different. For those of you who consider Oak Tree Church your home, as you look around some of these faces, you're like, I don't know any of these people. That's okay. These are the people who made what you are a part of possible. And we're grateful for that. And you're just seeing some of that. And I'm grateful for everyone who's a part of Oak Tree today and for those of you who have come before. I've got a little slideshow here that I'd just like to walk through. All the way back in 1951, and this first slide is actually from 1952. This is our original incorporation paperwork, 1952. And the name of this corporation shall be Mayflower Bible Church Incorporated. And notice the four purposes: to teach the Word of God, we're still doing that. To propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're still doing that. To administer the ordinances, we're still doing that. And to assemble together in regular services of worship. 70 years, we've tried to remain faithful to what you started. Then, about 8 years later, in 1959, next slide, 1959, we'll see that a couple of names you might recognize there. Mayflower Bible Church Incorporated amended its articles of incorporation, that we changed the church name from Mayflower Bible Church to Mayflower Baptist Church Incorporated, based on the combined Board of Trustees and Deacons' recommendation. And about the same time, shortly after that, we joined the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches, and we were a Baptist church. And then, in the year 2004, we took the name Oak Tree Community Church, and I'll explain that if you've never heard that. I'll explain that in a little bit. When we first started, maybe some of you will recognize this. These next pictures coming up. When we first started, everything was in black and white. is the key point of this. When we started in a 40 by 60 foot room. Sunday school rooms were added shortly thereafter, expanding the capabilities there. You see the poles in the middle and the chairs. Eventually, we changed slides to, I like how I slid that in there, to a peaked roof. Here's a newspaper article. Volunteers give Mayflower Baptist Church a new look. Volunteers are giving the Mayflower Baptist Church at 23624 Bulla Street. Oh, see, some of you remember that. Before it changed to Lynn Street, a new look by replacing the old flat roof with a new gabled roof. The 30 volunteer workers are from Mayflower and other Baptist churches in the area. Reverend Floyd W. Hardy is the pastor of the church in the South Bend Tribune. And then, less than 10 years later, So there's a peak roof and the auditorium, the sanctuary there with the chairs. And then, I forgot about that slide, sorry. And then, starting in 1972, we reversed the sanctuary, the auditorium, turned it around. You remember? Some of you added a brand new youth center with a gymnasium and a nursery and a kitchen and classrooms and a mezzanine balcony area up around top. And that's the building that I remember. That's what I grew up in. And that stood that way. Lynn Street, after it was changed, Lynn Street was a good home for us for 61 years. 61 years we were there. In the year 2009, we settled with South Bend Airport. And we moved here to this location in October of 2012. We've been here for 9 years. And some of you may remember that we owned some acreage just on Pine Street, across the street here. When we moved here to this location, we sold that and we bought additional acreage just adjacent to our land here as well. So we have room for expansion, if necessary. We have room to do a lot of things that that we would be able to do if we need to do that. Over the course of 70 years, I counted 17. If that number is wrong, my apologies. This is all on me. 17 men have served us in one or more different pastoral roles over 17 years. Not as senior pastors necessarily, but that doesn't really matter. They served in pastoral roles. So whether they use the title senior or lead or assistant or associate or youth or just pastor or just elder, we had several men. Do we have some? This is from our 25th anniversary. And look how young some of those people, well, especially the guy on the left. Look how young he looks. And his wife down there in the other picture. some of those men, not necessarily some, well, yeah, a little bit, I guess, are in attendance with us today, who have held the role of pastor or something. Of course, we have Alex Kanya here. We have Dave Butler here. We have, let's see, who else is here? Gary Day is one of our current pastor elders here, and of course he is working and lots of hard work from Gary and his family. Randy Pierman wanted to be here later today, but I understand that he is quarantining right now, sadly. So remember Randy and his wife Melody is as there's sickness going on there. We also had many men who served as deacons and trustees over the years. Many men and women who served on other ministries and committees. In fact, we wouldn't have a church if it were not for the many people who served. And so we have a couple of Awana Olympics. Pastor Metzger there leading Olympics in the side room before we had the gymnasium. Campfire there at camp. A lot of kids came to know Jesus as Savior, including my brother, because of our camp. And a lot of kids were baptized at camp, not intentionally. It's just because it was swim time and people jumped on their heads, you know. And so I don't remember, honestly. Do we have any more? Or is that one more? There's some more. There was a demolition. You remember the car, and got that and some people there. We've had different programs over the years. Shipmates, Awana Camp. We've had Word of Life, Olympians and Teens. We had Teens for God. We were non-denominational. Then we were regular Baptist. Then we were non-denominational again. We've had different members, different missionaries, different music, different style, different constitution over 70 years. But pretty much everything has changed. But here's my report to you. As I stand here, here's my report. with only minor edits over the years that usually has to do with verbiage, wording, or specific Bible references, our statement of faith, the doctrine that we have believed and taught, has remained the same for 7 decades. What you believed and taught is what we believe and taught, believe and teach today. We don't do English well, but it's what we believe in. So we believe and teach today. We still hold to the inspiration and the inerrancy of the Scriptures, the Word of God. There's a lot of places that can't say that today. We still believe and teach that. We still believe that salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. We still believe that Jesus is coming back for His church. And it could be soon. Although some of you told me it could be soon 20, 30, 40 years ago. I'm not listening to you anymore. Your whole definition of soon is a little shaky, okay? To those of you who laid the foundation of what today we call Oak Tree Community Church, I want you to be encouraged that the message you started with is the same message we preach today. Your work has continued, even as many of you have moved on to different ministries, different churches. Your work is still at work. Your legacy is still at work here. God has honored your faithfulness and your legacy, not only here on the west side of South Bend, but literally all over the world, is still intact. And so I say thank you to those of you who came before. And those of you who are part of Oak Tree Community Church now, as you look around, we owe them a great debt of thanks for their ministry and what they did before us. So can we thank those who came before? You don't even have to know who they are. Just clap. That's right. I have asked to open us in prayer this morning. I have asked one of our former members, longtime member, a person who was heavily invested in my life, heavily influenced me, made me what I am today, so you can blame him. Somebody who taught me the Scriptures, who cared enough about me to sit me down when I needed to be sat down, which was every once in a while, have a good, strong talking to, help me memorize the Scripture, help me learn the Scripture, and helped train me in so many different ways, probably far more than he knows. I've asked Mr. Bob Friel to open us in prayer today. And so, if you would do that, please.
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to come this far. And we're looking forward, Lord, to the time when we'll see you face to face. We praise you, Lord, for what you've done, first of all, in the life of Daniel Geffrey. We thank you, Lord, that you saw in him what you wanted to bring out so that many others should come to know you as personal Savior and Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the start of this church and for the 70 years that it's been in operation. We thank you, Lord, for all the ones who came from the beginning and are here today, and ask your special blessing on each of their lives today and through the days ahead. We're all looking forward, Lord, to being with you. We know, yes, that could be today, or it could be 1,000 years. But however long it is, Lord, we're prepared to serve you until that day comes. Just guide us. Be especially with Daniel now as he's leading this church. Give him wisdom and direction and strength. He's a fighter, Lord, and his fight is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in this area and around the world. So give him special blessings. We thank you for the special speaker that's coming today, Lord. We thank you for his testimony, his witness, and his service. for the love that he's shown to the people around the world and for the work that he's done as well. So guide, Lord, each one of us that we would remember that we should live just like you're coming this afternoon and not get slack in what we're doing. Keep to the work and just serve you, Lord, with every fiber of our being to the day that you call us home. So direct now, guide, and we'll give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's go back to the very beginning. On September 11th, 1951, a meeting was held in the home of Bob Hamilton with the intention to start a church on the west side of South Bend. The name of the church was originally intended to be Mayflower Community Bible Church, and by the time we got around 2 months later to November 11th, to our first official meeting, it was Mayflower Bible Church, and we were off to a start. But it was a little shaky start, wasn't it? For those of you who were here at the beginning, a little shaky start, wasn't sure exactly what was going to happen. We have a video that was sent to us, I've clipped out a part of this video, sent to us. In 1998, Pastor Robert Nitz passed away, and his family put together a video for his memorial service. It was 45 minutes long, and I wasn't going to show you the whole thing, so because that would really cut into my time and his time, and so that's so we snipped out a part that I thought was especially appropriate for us. So let's go back in time and hear about Pastor Robert Nitz.
While they've been gone away, two of our mom's younger sisters had started going to an evangelical church, embraced the gospel message, and had committed themselves to Jesus Christ. They were just teenagers. But during that visit, one night across the kitchen table, they poured out to our dad everything they knew about how sin had separated us from God, about the Lord Jesus and how he came to die in our place, taking the punishment for our sins on the cross, and how we can be reconciled to the God who made us and loves us through receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Dad was deeply impressed by their faith and their bubbling enthusiasm. He could not get the gospel message they shared with him out of his heart and mind. Only a few days later, unable to sleep one night, lying right in his bed, he confessed his sinfulness to God and asked Jesus Christ to come into his life to be his Lord and Savior too. Mom soon made the same commitment. Dad was 29 years old, and the change was dramatic. His life, once aimless and without purpose, now became filled with a burning desire to know and serve God.
Bob had already promised me when we got married that he would go to church with me every Sunday. Even though I'd been a very faithful churchgoer and prayed to God every day, neither of us understood about salvation by grace through receiving Christ. That night when my sisters explained what it meant to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, this was all new to us. But God really worked on our hearts. Soon we both opened our hearts and lives to him and invited him to come in to be our Savior and Lord. After that, our whole outlook changed. All the bad habits were put aside. Once we learned that our bodies were now the dwelling places of God's Holy Spirit, each new day we realized was a gift from God. We learned immediately to be more thankful, and we began right away to read the Bible and pray together. We sang hymns and choruses that we were learning before we retired at night. All our lives had a new purpose, and that was to serve God together any way we could.
One of the first Christian hymns he learned became his favorite because he felt it described his life and the change so perfectly, and it's called At Calvary.
Oh,
Norman Dayton, Dad delved into the Bible and became a real student of God's Word. Soon he was teaching a Sunday school class in a Methodist church on Sunday mornings, and in the evenings attending an evangelical church where the pastor and his wife took a personal interest in this young couple who were so on fire for Christ. One day, Dad read in the newspaper that a Dr. Alva McLean of Grace Seminary in Winona Lake, Indiana, was speaking in a local church in Dayton. Mom and he went, and after the service, Dad shared his testimony and deep desire to serve the Lord with Dr. McLean. Although he had only completed 2 years of college, had a wife, 2 kids, and no money, Dr. McLean saw in our dad what everyone else who ever met him saw, that passionate zeal to serve the Lord. He waived the normal entrance requirements and invited Dad to attend Grace Seminary tuition-free if he promised to finish his college education during the summer.
At 34 years old, Dad was back in school. He took a full-time seminary course load during the school year and a double load of college courses during the summer. At the same time, he was working a construction job with a brick and block contractor to support his family. It's hard for even me to imagine this, but 4 years later, he graduated from both Manchester College with a Bachelor of Science degree and Grace Theological Seminary with a Master's of Divinity degree. What is more incredible is that all during this period, in his spare time, whenever that was, he was serving as pastor of the Bourbon Presbyterian Church in the small town of Bourbon, Indiana. He was surprised that after winning many people to Christ through his evangelistic preaching there, that he was asked by the liberal presbytery of the denomination, please tone down his messages and switch to their seminary in Chicago or else. He chose or else. And with several of the families he had led to Christ there in Bourbon, formed a non-denominational Bourbon Bible Church. He not only built this new church on the foundation of the people he had won to Christ, he built the actual physical building using the brick and block laying skills he had learned working his way through seminary. Early on, he chose Romans 1:16 as his life verse. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of Christ unto salvation to anyone who will believe it. He deeply believed that the experience he had at 29 years of age, being reconciled to God through a personal relationship to Jesus Christ, was not some isolated mystical experience. He was convinced that what happened to him when he believed that message of the gospel was something everyone that he met needed. That message became the driving force in his life. He got a good theological education. He studied Hebrew, Greek, and homiletics, but the greatest joy came when, whether from behind a pulpit or just sitting across the kitchen table, he was able to share the gospel message as it had been shared with him and see its power change lives just as it has changed his. In Bourbon, Indiana, he was also active in Youth for Christ International as a speaker, organizer, and county director, and during this period was often invited to do evangelistic work because of his zeal for the gospel. One opportunity he seized was when he was invited to preach at the Bendix factory one day a week at lunch. He spoke from a flatbed truck to the men as they sat outside on the lawn eating their sandwiches. When the weather got cold, the factory actually erected a tent and furnished heat and lights because they believed this was so beneficial to their workers. One of the men that heard him speak there at the Bendix plant told him about a small group that he knew of that was meeting in the city of South Bend. They asked him if he would move to South Bend and help them plant a new church there. He took up this new challenge in 1952, and the church became known as Mayflower Bible Church.
Isn't that great? Can you imagine Bendix setting up a tent and a trailer to have somebody come over and preach the gospel of Jesus today? A lot of things change over the years, don't they? We are going to sing a couple of times this morning in sets of a couple of songs at a time. And our first set, I actually want to start with Pastor Nitz's favorite song, At Calvary. In your bulletin is, we didn't have enough of the books, so you can get a paper copy. So on the front is At Calvary, on the back is I Will Sing of My Redeemer, or if you've got it turned around the other way, that's fine too. Let's stand together, and we'll start with At Calvary, number 477 on the front side of your page. In addition to just the general names that we'll be talking about today, there are a couple of people that we want to make a special welcome, a special presentation, a special a statement of gratitude for their service over the years. And 9 years ago, we began here what we call the Oak Tree Award. And the name Oak Tree, we changed to the name Oak Tree in 2004 from Mayflower Baptist Church. We started thinking about the name change in 02. We changed it in 04. And there are really two key Bible passages behind it. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, specifically talking about the people of Israel, but I think there's a great principle here. It says that the Lord will plant them as strong and graceful oaks for His own glory. And that's what we want to be, is strong and graceful oaks for His own glory. You know, as you look at old maps, ancient maps, there are only a few things that they could put on the maps that would stand the test of time so that when the map was found again, it was useful, right? Sometimes there would be big boulders. Sometimes they would have landmarks that they would put. But one of the major things that is found on many maps is that big old oak tree out in the field. Because if you could find the oak tree, you could find your way. That's what we wanted to be. That's where the name came from. They stand against time, oak trees do, and they slowly and they quietly just do their work. They provide shade. They provide comfort. They actually provide, because of the way the root system grows, they provide a place where other little saplings have a place to grow and become what they're supposed to be. That's what we wanted to be. In Psalm 1, we read about the characteristics of the righteous person. The righteous person does not stand in the path of sinners, does not sit in the seat of the scornful, does not, and I just lost it. this is why we don't do things from memory, right? Something about what? Yes, we're going to skip to verse 3 because that's what we really care about. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He will be, here it is, he will be like a tree planted by streams of water, and whose leaves do not wither, and whatever he does will prosper, because we're serving our Lord God. The Oak Tree Award comes out of that desire to honor those who reflect the characteristics of the righteous person in Psalm 1. To date, we have named four Oak Tree Awards, one to a couple. In 2012, we gave the Oak Tree Award to Jess Knoll and to Melba Pierman. And if you know either or both of those people, I don't think I have any issue. I don't think anybody has any issues with them receiving an Oak Tree Award, right? In 2018, we awarded Ben and Pat Knoll. And then in 2019, we awarded Janie Tarwacki. People who, I think, for those of us who know them, easily show the qualifications of the righteous person from Psalm 1. Today, I would like to be able, or I'm privileged and pleased to be able to present this award again. Our recipient right now, is Dick Overton. Dick Overton joined Mayflower Baptist Church with his wife, Joanne, in 1977.
He faithfully served on the financial team for several years, keeping track of our contributions, making sure that we handed out all of the, he handed out the contributions tracking. For years, he was a regular part of the visitation team that took the gospel door to door in our neighborhoods. On Sunday mornings, when you saw him in the lobby or you saw him in the sanctuary and you stuck out your hand and he stuck out his hand, you could count on him when you asked, "How are you doing, Dick?" He would be great and wonderful. He was always great and wonderful. Due to a series of strokes in recent years, I'm not going to ask him to come up here. However, Angie, I'm going to come to you guys so that you don't have to come up here and give this to Dick Overton. And would we please honor our newest recipient of the Oak Tree Award? Many of you have moved on to other churches and other ministries that you're involved in, and I would love to recognize everybody, but we just can't do that this morning. There are a handful, though, whom I would like to recognize because of the ministries that they're in. If you know Tim and Sandy Fink, Sandy Clark Fink, that you may or may not know that Tim is now the executive director of Bibles International up in Grand Rapids area. Steve and Charlene Giegrich, still with Campus Bible Fellowship. Josh Geffrick is the lead pastor at Hilltop Community Church in Warsaw. And as much as he would like to be here this morning, he has some people to baptize today. And so I think that takes priority, doesn't it? So good ministry there in Warsaw. If you remember Rodney Harrier, he was going to try to come over today. I'm not sure that he made it. He has a website where he has a chronological study Bible on his website where you can study through the Bible year after year. And if you'd be interested in something like that, I can get you that information. Randy Pierman is, like I said, quarantined, unfortunately, but he's the pastor at Bethel Baptist Church, just right up here in Niles, and so many other people that we have. In addition to serving here at the church, I have the privilege of teaching internationally. I've written a few books, and so many other people that I wish I knew what you were up to, but you didn't respond to my RSVP thing. I'm not taking the blame for that. I'm just so many things. When we're talking at lunch, please share what you're doing with each other, and I would love to know too. So share what you're doing. We have, of course, everybody's a special guest this morning. So when I say special guest, this is not, you know, against anybody else. But we do have a special guest with us that some of you will remember. He was a longtime missionary. I remember when I was a child seeing his picture with his wife. Back then, they were serving in Chad, Africa. And we have with us Mr. Ross Beach. And Ethan, would you hand him a microphone? And Mr. Beach, would you tell us what you're up to now? And you had some stuff out there that you wanted to let us know.
Well, you normally prepare to say something, but you caught me here. Anyway, I just would like to say it's been a privilege to be a part of this church, in that this church helped our support We served 47 years with the Evangelical Alliance Mission. And this church does not stop at the walls. You've left footprints around the world. And we were just one of those small footprints. And it's because of that that this church is now 70 years old and is still going.
Thank you very much. I have a note here, a short note to read from Pastor Dr. Ron Metzger. And he says, "Dear Pastor Daniel and members and friends of Oak Tree Community Church, greetings to you from Pat and Ron Metzger in Elk River, Minnesota. We want to share God's blessings with you on this day of celebrating 70 years of faithful ministry of God's Word and sharing the gospel there in the South Bend area. Pat and I served there at Mayflower Baptist Church from 1967 to 1977. We became good friends with so many of the members there, which have gone home to be with the Lord, but that will become a very special Mayflower reunion in heaven someday soon. Our time was spent there in the teaching of God's Word with presenting the dispensational values of Scripture. We began the Awana Club ministry and Awana Camp programs also. It was during our ministry that God blessed those who would serve with us and become future pastors of Mayflower. Al and Pam Kanya would replace us in 1977 as your pastor, and later in the 1990s, Don and Cora McMillan would come to be your pastor as they served with us in Canada and Minnesota for many years previously. God bless all of you and keep on serving Him. And encourage Pastor Daniel to continue to preach God's word, to edify the saints, to win others to Christ." And this is how he signed off: "In Christ, Ron and Pat Metzger, 60 years in the ministry and still going," as he's pastoring a church in Elk River, Minnesota. Our next music set, as we work our way through the decades, will be led by Pete Tarwacky, who is also a product of this church, born and raised and saved here. He led music here for about a dozen years, from 2003 to 2014. I've already introduced John Straub on the keys, the only one at the keys since about 1986 or so. Nick Day will be on the drums, Nathan Geffrick on the bass guitar, and his wife Michaela will be singing this morning. And again, if you don't know the songs, that's great. Focus on the words, because these are God-honoring, exalting. If you do know the songs, belt it out. Let's stand together as we sing.
This is so fun, you guys. It's so weird to look out and see, you know, like Bob and Dee. I mean, I was at their house for vacation Bible school. He was my Awana instructor, and I'm sure, Pam, you changed my diapers, right? So how weird... But how cool to see all your faces. I loved my time here at Oak Tree. Like Daniel said, it was just amazing. And so there was a few songs you probably knew me for, and this is one of them. It's called Not to Us, and it's all about God. It's not about us. That's the whole message of this. God, you're so good to us. Your past shows us that. And the future is bright because we have you, God. And so as we've gathered here, this is time that we are reflecting on the past, but we're also excited to see what you're going to do in our lives this morning as we open up your word, as we listen to what the Holy Spirit's telling us in our hearts, God. So I just so grateful for this time, and just thank you for everyone who showed up today to celebrate this amazing church. We love you, and we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you all. You guys can have a seat.
To be able to introduce our speaker today. He was my pastor when I was growing up here. It was under his ministry that I was saved, I was baptized, I was trained for a lot of the roles that I have today. He's an old friend to many of you, and he's a new face to some of you, and that's good. That's good. After 70 years, I would hope that we have both old and new, yes? Here's something that not everybody knows. In ancient times, I'm not talking about him yet, I'm just... in ancient times, a Jewish person who was born and lived outside of the land of Israel proper would have two names. He would have his Hebrew name, the synagogue name, what he was called in Israel or called at synagogue, and then he would also have a Gentile name, usually Greek or Latin, that he was called by all of his friends outside of the land of Israel or outside of the synagogue. Well, so one of the greatest examples in the New Testament of this is Saul of Tarsus. When he was in Israel, he was called Saul. That's how we were introduced to him. He didn't change his name. He had two names. Paulos, Paul, was his external, his Gentile name. That's how he was known throughout the Roman Empire, was Paul. But every time he came home, don't you know that his mom would say, "Saul?" She never liked that Paul thing. She never called him Paul. She said, "Saul," right? He went by both names. And when he was home, whether he was used to it or not, he was called Saul. And everywhere else he was called Paul. This is similar to our speaker this morning. Many of you know him as Alex Kanya, with this "ah," Kanya. But when he left home and he and Pam moved to Hungary to begin the ministry of Word of Life Fellowship in Hungary, they left our church in 1990, and they've been with Word of Life Fellowship now for over 30 years, serving in Hungary and in Europe and all over the place, and he can talk about that if he would like. But you may sometimes hear somebody slip and say, "Konya." This is his Gentile name. This is his Greek name. This is... This is his name away from home. So if you're used to calling him Kanya, it's okay. They'll live. They'll get through it. But you might slip and hear him say, be called. And I'm introducing him today as my friend, my mentor, my pastor, not just Pastor Al Kanya, but as he's been known for three decades, Al Konya.
Well, you can call me Kanya or you can call me Konya as long as you call me for dinner, okay? Nothing's changed.
Nothing has changed. Is that all right?
That's good. Yeah, that's all right. That's better than all right. I got a little thing here to hold my Bible. And it is so, isn't it good to be here? Of course, at some of our ages, it's good to be anywhere, isn't it? But it is great. It is great to look into the faces of some of you that I haven't seen in so many years. And also some of you who are here faithfully serving in this present generation. And there's been a lot said about the past, but I want to tell you something. I thank God for the past, but I thank God for the present, and I am excited about the future of Oak Tree Community Church. So thank God for those of you who continue with this legacy. But some of us are getting old, or older. I guess that's a relative term. It kind of reminds me of the pastor that wanted to go out and visit this elderly gentleman there in his area. And this fellow was pretty old and he wasn't in very good health. And so he decided that he was going to go out and he was going to share the gospel with him and, you know, talk to him, because who knows, it looked like he didn't have much time left. So he went out there and he saw the old boy who brought him into the house and sat him down and said, "Well, Reverend, what can I do for you?" And he said, "Well, Bill, I came here to talk to you a little bit." And he said, "Oh, wonderful, I like to talk. How can I help you?" And he said, "Well, to be honest with you, you know, you're up in years, and I came here to talk to you about the hereafter. You need to think at this point in your life about the hereafter." And the old boy looked at the pastor and he said, "Well, Reverend, I think about the hereafter every day." And he said, "You do?" And he said, "Yes. I get up, I walk into a room, and I say to myself, what am I here after?" So for those of you who are old, you think that's funny. For those of you who are young, it's coming. It's coming. Oh, boy. But, you know, reflecting back over 70 years, and honestly, Pam and I, thinking about this, We have not been a part of the majority of those 70 in a pastoral setting. Pam and I were involved in about 20%, really, of the total legacy and ministry of this church over its time, and they were a great, great 20 years. And there were so many wonderful victories over these last 70 years, seeing these things about Pastor Nitz. And I remember hearing about some of the evangelistic meetings and how many, many, many people in this part of South Bend came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Some of those of you who are here now, that happened. Great victories during that time. And then things got down and Pastor Hardy came here and the Lord brought revival and the Lord brought people back to Him and great victories. You saw the great rejoicing, I'm sure, when the church building was changed, because actually it looked a little more like a machine shop than it really did a church building at that point. And it was fixed up to look more like a church. And then building the gym under Pastor Metzger and the great Awana programs and all of that, there were some great, great victories during those years, weren't there? And the great missionary times and all, and the people that have come to Christ since then, even since the move here, continuing to reach out into that into this community of the greater South Bend area. What a blessing. What a great thing. But you know, as it was already mentioned by Pastor Daniel, there have also been the challenges. There have been the tears. There have been the heartaches. There have been the disappointments. There have been the burials. As a pastor, I participated and officiated at more of those burials than I wish I had to. Saying goodbye to some very, very, very dear people, and we're not going to name all their names, but we know some of who they are, don't we? And we miss them. We miss them. You know, the greatest trials in life often produce the most lasting lessons. Do they not? The greatest trials in life often produce the most lasting lessons. Every generation faces those trials. I just heard about some of these things here in the last year here at this church, going through COVID. The whole world went through some trials. In Hungary, we had to lay off 20% of our staff, cut the pay by everybody, every missionary by 20%. We had to send 50-some students home within 72 hours in the beginning of all of that. And you went through things here in South Bend, and those of you from other churches, you've gone through things as well, and personal things as well. And it is true in every believer's life, sooner or later, we are faced with trials, we are faced with challenges, and they often give us, although they are some of the most painful things, the most lasting lessons to take with us. They show us what we really believe. They show us who we really are. And so it has been with this church, and so it has been with believers for thousands of years. This morning, I want us to think back into a culture and time that we have a very difficult time even imagining, going back about 3,000 years plus into the time of a man in the Bible called Joshua, not Joshua Geffrick, but Joshua. And in the book of Joshua, it talks about how a new generation faces an incredible challenge. And I would like for you to take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 3. We're going to read this passage about a tremendous challenge that they faced. It was actually a physical challenge that had to be solved before they could ever, ever enjoy the promised blessings that God had promised to them by going into that land of Canaan that God had given to them unconditionally. I'm going to read the story because it's really interesting, kind of dramatic, and then we want to go back to it and look into it a little bit. Here's what happened. Now Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Acacia Grove, is the English name of the place, and they came to the Jordan River, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. And so it was that after 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you will set out from your place and follow it. And there will be a space between you and it of about a half a mile, in today's language. Do not go near the ark, so that you may know the way that you must go, for you've never passed this way before. And so Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, because tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke to the priests and told them to take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people. And so they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And you will command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the water of the Jordan River, you will stand in the Jordan. And so Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. By this you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and all the otherites. And behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going in front of you, before you, into the Jordan River. Now, take up for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and it will happen that as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest on the waters of the Jordan, step into the waters, that the waters of the Jordan will be cut off that come down from upstream, and they will stand as a heap. And so it happened when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the priests who bore the Ark stepped to the edge of the water, because the Jordan overflows its banks during this whole time of the harvest, that the waters that came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. And the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan River. And then it happened that when all the people had completely crossed over, that the Lord said to Joshua, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them to take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm, and you will carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. So Joshua called the 12 men that he had appointed, one man from each tribe, and of course they did exactly what was commanded. Joshua said, cross over before the Ark of the Lord into the midst of the Jordan, take up a stone according to the number of the tribes of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in the future, saying, what do these stones mean? Then you'll explain to them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones will be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did exactly that, just as Joshua commanded. And they took up the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, as the Lord had said, according to the number of their tribes, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and they laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. They faced a challenge. Next. They faced the challenge of the Jordan River. This is what the Jordan River looks like today. During the time of harvest, which would be in around May of the year. And it looks like a pretty formidable thing to go across, doesn't it? I mean, remember, we don't have airplanes, we don't have helicopters, we don't have drones, we don't have all this cool stuff. There is no way for us and families and animals and children to cross this. But in those days, it was much worse than that. Scholars tell us that the Jordan River at flood stage in this area where they crossed could have been as much as 2 football fields wide and 15 feet deep, raging like that. Now, I ask you this question, how are you going to cross that? And remember this, if you don't cross the Jordan, all of the promises that God had made about that land to your generation are null and void. It is a huge challenge. But God was up to the challenge, and so were they. And they successfully crossed by the grace of God. And as we look at the story, we can learn three really basic practical lessons to take in life. What are these three lessons we can learn from this amazing historical narrative? Number one, remember the past. Remember the past. Remember we read in Joshua chapter 4, he said you're to collect these stones and you're to put them at the lodging place. So all of this would always be remembered. Remember the past. What we are doing here today is not simply fun, although it is. Not simply great stories. I have a million of them that I won't tell you today, but we may be at lunch, you know. You won't give me that live mic, I'm sure of that. I have too much to say, you know. But you know, you think about that. It's not just simply a cool thing to do and a nice thing to do because churches do it. It is biblical to remember. And what we remember is not simply the fun and not simply the events and not simply the miracles. What we remember, it is the fact that it is the work of God. Look at chapter 3 and verse 10. Joshua said, "By this you will know that the living God is among you." These things, dearly beloved, show us who God is. Looking at the 70 years of the history of this place shows us really who God is and what He has done through imperfect people, mistake-prone people, sin-prone people like you and me. It is right to remember the past. You look into your Old Testament and you find that God wove that concept, remember the past, into the life of every Jewish person. They had a series of feasts and celebrations that were called to remember when God took them out of Egypt. Remember when God took care of them for 40 years in the wilderness. Every year, at certain times, everything stopped so they would just remember. Isn't that cool? Don't you wish we had a calendar like that in America? We remember everything but the spiritual truths that we were founded upon. Oh, well, that's another story. God built remember the past into their calendar. God built remember the past into their worship. Read the Psalms. God built remember the past into their scriptures. And by the way, God built remember the past into the church. We saw that when this church was founded in 1951 and the four purposes were stated, one of them, it said, was to practice the ordinances. One of those ordinances is the Lord's Supper. And when we have the Lord's Supper and we read from God's Word those words, we read, "Do this in what? Remembrance of me. You will remember the Lord's death till He comes." We need to remember the past. I want to say to those of you who are younger and are contemporary, remember the past. I am involved in a youth ministry. Isn't that a weird thing, a 69-year-old guy dealing with 16-year-old campers? Joanne, imagine that. You know. It's a generation that doesn't want to hear too much about the past. Don't ever let that happen in your personal life or in your corporate life as a local church, because it is biblical. Those things give us backbone. Those things give us strength. Those things give us perspective as we move into the future, don't they? You know, when I think of the past of this church, at least during my time, there are some things that I am reminded of. Lessons to learn and to never forget. Here are a couple of them that I'd like to share. One is the lesson about how God provides when we are committed to getting out the good news. You sent us in 1990, you commissioned us and sent us as your missionaries to Hungary. And I went there with my dear wife, Pam, who's here today, and my three kids who are scattered across the earth. And your prayers and support and love and a pocket full of dreams. And we headed out to this empty castle in Hungary. And I sat there thinking about this. You, as a local church, have remained faithful in supporting us. And we have been the extension of your ministry now for 31 years. 31 years. And I figured out a little bit about how much investment you had in us and about how much investment you've had in missionaries. This is just part of your picture and your heritage. Do you realize that it is probable that this church, going back from the beginning, may have invested $1 million into missions? Very conservatively, you invested over $110,000 in Pam and me just in support. And you had ups and you had downs and you had seasons of refreshing here over these last 31 years. You've had seasons where it was like a dry and barren land. You've had times of abundance. You've had times when you were squeezed. And all of that was going on here while other things were going on in Hungary. I did a little bit of math. I'm not a mathematician, but since Pam and I came to Hungary, there have been about 30,000 young people that have gone through that camp. If you break that amount of money down, listen to this. Every $3.50 that you invested resulted in a kid at camp. And almost half of those young people have made open public decisions of some sort for Jesus Christ. 15,000 young people just at camp. Sometimes it was tough to come up with that $3.50. But do you see? Do you see? And God provided 1,100 Bible school students. That means a $100 investment per student. And there are graduates of the Word of Life Hungary Bible Institute that are in every continent of the world proclaiming the gospel except for Antarctica. And maybe there are a couple there that I don't know about. You know, we had Faith Promise conferences. We tripled our missions giving. And you know what we saw? That God provided for this place. This is a beautiful facility. I praise God for this. This is beautiful. It's a lot nicer than the old one. Man, I remember leaks in the roof, and in one of the rooms there was actually mushrooms growing in the carpet in the corner. I mean, seriously, Dave, you remember that? You know, we could have had dinner. We could have had a salad and mushrooms right there, you know, and didn't even have to buy anything. That was a wonderful place. It served its purpose, but I love this place. God provided. Remember the lesson about how God provides when we're committed to getting out the good news. Never lose that perspective. I'm reminded of the lesson of the past about how God answers prayer. All through these 70 years, there have been men and women who have sincerely and deeply prayed. Prayed for people, prayed for missionaries, prayed for the sick, prayed for one another. I think of two examples. One of them is here, and the other one is with the Lord, but some of his family is here. I remember when we would have these weeks of prayer, and on Tuesday night, we would bring in the names of lost people. Do some of you remember that? And we would pray for the lost. We'd bring in names of family members and relatives and people that we wanted to see to come to Christ, and we prayed for the lost. And I remember praying for one guy's brother, who was really, did not know the Lord. The family was thinking, oh, it could never happen. But we prayed. He was studying to be a priest. And we prayed. And God heard that prayer. And one of the people from the church shared the gospel. And Tom Gepfrick, who's here today, came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And Tom and Norma have touched how many lives? It started in a prayer meeting. Dee Friel is here today. I used to call her Sister Dolores, remember that? She might not like that, but hey, what are you going to do? I'm up here, you know. Her father was very, very dear to me, and her mother, Al and Doris Ritz. And Al, at one point, was very far from Christ, very far from Christ. And people were praying for that man. He was shooting billiards, and he was in the pool rooms, and he was in the bars, and he was hanging out with the wrong crowd, far away from the Lord. And as I've heard the story, I don't know if this is completely accurate, but as I remember Al telling it, Doris, his wife, was really praying for him. He'd be out in the bars, and she'd be home praying. And she finally said, God, he is in your hands. I've had it. Do what you will. And he was sitting in that place, and the tears began to run down his cheeks, and he said, I don't belong here, and I'm never coming back. And he showed up at church wearing these wild outfits. And we started a visitation program, and Al was one of the very first to volunteer. Al Fritz and I went out and shared the gospel with many people. We'd go out and play golf together. He loved to play golf. And we'd meet up with some of the people from his rebellious past, and we'd share the gospel with him out on the golf course. And I could give you the names of people that you know very well that Al Fritz and I led to Christ. It all started with prayer. That is the heritage of this place, and that is a lesson to be learned from the past. How God provides when we're committed to getting out the good news. How God answers prayer. And finally, the third one that I take with me from my time is the power of the gospel in redeeming lives forever. I just mentioned Al. There is nobody that is beyond the grace of God. Remember the past. This is biblical, and it is pleasing to God what we're doing here today. But secondly, in this passage, we learn something else. Decide in the present. Decide in the present. Because the truth of the matter is, the past is past. Do you realize that only all those things, they only exist now in our memories? And the past can be forgiven and cleansed. Thank God for that. But the past cannot be changed. We must not and should not live in the past. We live in the present, and each generation must make its own decisions in the present as to where it will stand. Joshua was leading a generation whose parents failed. The parents of the people that Joshua was looking into the eye of that day were those that came out of Egypt, who saw all those miracles and all those things, the parting of the Red Sea and the angel of death and the blood on the doorposts and all of that stuff. And when the time came for them to make the decision to go to the land, the spies came back and said, you can't do it, they're giants. They're giants, we're like grasshoppers. And they said, okay, that's it. Everybody out of the pool, pack up the bags, we're done with God, we're heading back to Egypt. We had some good gods there. That was this generation's parents. And you know what? Moses became the most successful undertaker in human history because he buried an entire generation of people who refused to believe. Now here's another generation. That's past. The question is, what are they going to do? What is the decision that they are going to make? You know, some of us have come from a godly heritage. We've been hearing that today. Thank God for that. Some of us have come out of a messed up, wrecked up background. If that's the case, you can be different. We're not enslaved to the past. And so these people here now have to make a decision. Are they going to believe? Are they going to trust? Or are they going to follow the example of unbelief of their parents? You know, it's very interesting in all of this passage, after this happens, the men are circumcised. You know why that's interesting? Because circumcision was the sign that said, we believe God's unconditional eternal promise to Abraham that he will always have a people, he will give us the land, and through his special someone that is coming. All the families of the earth will be blessed. Circumcision was a sign that said, we believe that. And they didn't circumcise their kids. Guess why? Now it's a new generation. Now they have to decide. Listen, we've had great reminiscence time today, but those of you who are here now, you are a new generation. You have to decide. Next. I serve with Word of Life, and the founder of Word of Life was a famous evangelist by the name of Jack Wirtzen. Some of you might recognize that face. And Jack Wirtzen used to say, it is the responsibility of each generation to reach their generation for Christ. 70 faithful years are wonderful, but they do nothing to reach young people in the future for Christ. They do nothing to proclaim the gospel and teach the world the word 5 years from now for Christ. Every generation must decide anew. Those of you who are here and who have been faithful and are part of this church, you must decide. In fact, all of us must decide. We must decide today, where do we stand? Where do we stand? And you know, from time to time, we need to renew that commitment. It's very interesting that they made that major open decision. When they got circumcised, they said, we believe what God has said. And they crossed the Jordan, and all those wonderful things happened. But if you read the book of Joshua, several times afterwards, Joshua gathered them together to once again renew the commitments that they had made, that they might not forget. Sometimes we need to take spiritual inventory and ask ourselves, where am I now? Where am I now? Because the past is past. Great achievements, praise God for them, but where are we now? So decide in the present. Decide in the present. And they had to decide, am I going to follow God? Am I going to put my feet in the Jordan? Am I going to follow the Ark of the Covenant? Am I going to do what God said? Joshua put them in a place of decision. The third thing, and the final thing that I want to say, well, before I say that, I just want to say this. Next. To summarize everything God was asking them to do, I think it can be summarized in one sentence, and here it is. God was saying to them, believe whatever I have said to you and obey whatever I ask you. That was the challenge to that generation. Believe whatever I have said to you, obey whatever I ask of you. That's a good challenge, isn't it? Believe whatever I have said to you, obey whatever I ask of you. And they said, yes. And we know how they conquered the land. Very interesting how the book of Joshua begins. It begins with God telling Joshua, these words that I gave to you will be in your heart and in your mind and your mouth, and you'll meditate on them day and night. Believe whatever I've said to you. Obey whatever I ask of you. So, we are to remember the past. We are to decide in the present. And finally today, we are to invest in the future. Next, we are to invest in the future. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, as we read, Joshua talks not simply about this generation and their choice. He talks about future generations looking ahead. And he says, I want you to do this so in the future, when your kids look at this pile of rocks and this memorial that's built and they say, what is this memorial all about? You tell them and you share with them and you pass on your faith to them and you pass on the great things that God has done to them and you invest in the future. Pass it on to the next generation. How do you do that? May I suggest to you it's more about life lessons than church programs? The real place where kids learn how Christianity is lived out is in our homes, parents. The real place where young people learn how Christianity is lived out is watching our lives, isn't it? You know, you can memorize 1,000 verses of Scripture and be an atheist. That's why in Deuteronomy 6, the Lord says, now, these words will be in your heart and your mouth, and you're supposed to talk about them when you're on the way, when you're getting up in the morning, when you're sleeping at night. These are to pervade our homes and our lives. So not only do they hear the precious truths of the Word of God, but they see those things lived out, and thus they have an example to follow, and that is how we invest in the future. Isn't that true? It's very interesting. I've been a teacher now for almost 30 years in Hungary. And Pastor Daniel, I don't want to break your heart, but the students don't remember a huge amount from my syllabi and all that stuff. They remembered some, the main things. I don't. But you know what they tell me? I'm not saying this is a woo, Alex is great or anything like that. What they tell me is, you know, the greatest thing I got from Old Testament survey was seeing that we can be passionate about the Old Testament scriptures, because I'm really passionate about the OT. It's more caught than taught. That doesn't mean no teaching, but it's not enough. Invest in the future. Do you realize, I'm sure you do, that Christianity is always only one generation away from total extinction from the face of the earth? All it takes is one generation to completely fail, and it's gone. Now, we know on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We know that. We know that. But as far as our human responsibility is concerned, you know what? There is no guarantee that the church will exist in America. There is no guarantee that this church will exist in one generation. 70 wonderful years, great to celebrate. That doesn't guarantee the future. The future is in our hands now, based upon the decisions that we make in the present. Remember the past. Decide in the present. Invest in the future. Three lessons from this incredible crisis that turned to incredible victory in a generation of people that were determined to serve the Lord. I want to challenge you with something as we finish up today. We're done here now, pretty much, at least my part. You know, when Joshua was an old man, this generation, which was by and large one of the best generations in the Old Testament, they're getting old. And a new generation's come along that's going to make a total mess of things. That's the book of Judges. And Joshua, at the end of his life, as an old man, over 100 years old, says, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here is the challenge for Oak Tree Community Church right now. Here is the challenge for those of us who were at Mayflower Baptist Church, for those of us who are at Mayflower Bible Church. Here is the challenge for our lives today. We can boil it all down to this one statement. And here it is. Being willing to make the commitment that says, Father, I will believe whatever you have said, and I will do whatever you ask. It's simple, isn't it? Simple to say. Not so easy to follow. I will believe whatever you have said, founded on the Word of God, as we have been for 70 years. I'm not going to argue with you, Father, about the Word of God. I'm not going to question its authenticity. I am going to believe it as your word that you have given. I will believe what you've said, and I'll do whatever you ask. Where do you know what God asks? In the Word, in the Bible. There are enough principles there to cover every situation of life. Where are we now? And where are we going? As a church, as a grandpa, as a grandma, as a young person, husband, wife, where are we now and where are we going? Have you ever made a commitment similar to this one in your life? I will believe whatever you've said, and I'll do whatever you ask. Here I am, God. I'm not going to argue with you about your word. I'm going to take it as it is, and I'm going to commit myself to obeying you in whatever you ask. congregation like that is used by God to change the world. A people like that are used by God to conquer Canaan. An individual is used by that to make an impact that could hardly be imagined. You know, throughout the 70 years of the existence of this place, there have been people that have made that commitment in their lives. I think heaven is going to be staggering. I think about those 30,000 young people that you helped to reach, give them the opportunity to be campers. You know what? They came to Christ, and many of them shared the gospel with other people who came to Christ, with families who came to Christ, who shared the gospel with others who came to Christ, who shared the gospel with others who are living for the Lord. And it is a mighty, mighty army that came out of these humble beginnings years ago. But it does not happen by chance. It happens by deliberate decision. And the decision is this. The decision is this. I will believe whatever you've said. I'll do whatever you've asked. Some of us made that decision sometime in the past. And it's good sometimes in our heart to renew it. And so here's how I would like to end this part of the service. If you have never made that decision or a similar decision in your life, you're here at this place, as we bow our head, why don't you privately, personally talk to God and make that commitment to Him? Father, I will believe whatever you've said. I will do whatever you ask. Some of us made that commitment a long time ago. Maybe this would be a great time for us to say, Father, I still believe whatever you have said, and I will still continue to do whatever you've asked. A generation did that, and it changed history. As we do that, history can be changed right from this place. I love what Pastor Daniel said. This is only the beginning. It can be so. So let's just bow, take a moment to talk to the Lord. I will believe whatever you've said. I will do whatever you asked. Ready to make that commitment? Heads bowed in prayer, nobody looking around. Let's just take a minute to thank God for this place and its past, but maybe renew or make that commitment today. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if there are those of you that have made that commitment for the first time, we'd just like to pray for you, that God will give you the grace and strength to follow through with that as you walk with the Lord into the future. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you made that decision, made that commitment today for the first time, would you just raise your hand up and put it down? And we're going to pray for those of you who may have done that today. Anybody here that has made that commitment today? Just raise your hand up and put it down. Anybody? Thank you. Anybody else? Anyone else? Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit's work in our heart. We think of the 70 years of history of Mayflower Bible Church, Mayflower Baptist Church, Oak Tree Community Church. We thank God. We thank you, Father. We remember the great victories of the past. And we stand at a time of decision in the present that will lead us into the future. Father, bless those that have renewed decisions in their hearts, that have made decisions in their hearts. Father, this place is not a memorial to any man or woman's faithfulness. It's a memorial to your faithfulness. It is a pile of stones in this generation and in this community that shows your greatness. May your name be glorified. May your kingdom be advanced. May your will be accomplished through our lives as we believe whatever you have said and are willing to do whatever you ask. Bless Pastor Daniel as he leads and the leadership leads this local church. Bless those who are still faithfully serving. Thank you, Father,
What a glorious day it will be someday when in heaven we will all, without exception and with no one missing, be together to sing and praise your name for all eternity as trophies of your grace. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Pastor Al. Really appreciate that challenge. Around here, when we talk about that type of dedication, we call it the step of excellence on the path, saying we're all into whatever God wants us to do. And it's in a very important thing. We have a few things left as we finish today. We'll sing a little bit more, one more Oak Tree Award to present. Recently, my son Nathan has been leading music, and so he's going to lead us in a couple of songs. Ethan has joined us on the drums, and you'll see some people have moved around in positions in their multiple talents. Let's stand together as we sing. If you would have a seat for another moment, please. I get to give away one more of these. We've spoken the names several times this morning, and this is a person, or it's actually a couple, not just one person, this is a couple of names on this. A couple who I believe have exemplified the characteristics of the righteous person as laid out in Psalm 1. Who have taught countless people in this church all over the world. And for some of you, maybe this was your very first time hearing him preach. And it is a privilege to be able to welcome my friends, whom I'm no longer just this little guy, but I sure feel like it sometimes. Somebody whom I can call friends, people whom I can call colleagues in the ministry. Would you welcome Alex and Pam Kanya to the platform? You talk about the dollars and the people that, you know, we've helped you minister to, but you were the ones on the front line. You were the ones in Hungary while we're here praying and giving and doing our thing in South Bend. You're in Hungary, you're all over Europe, and who knows where else you go. And that's, you don't even know probably sometimes where you're going to be. But it is such an honor to be able to thank you on behalf of Oak Tree Community Church for your years of ministry here and abroad, and to honor you with the 2021, our second 2021 Oak Tree Award.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Group hug. Group hug. Group hug.
I don't usually put plaques on my wall and everything, you know, in my office or whatever, but this one is going up.
Awesome. Awesome. Very much. Thank you very much. We're going to sing one final song this morning, and then I'll have some closing instructions. This is a song that has become a favorite of ours around here over the years. It's upbeat, it's loud, it's fun. If you don't have fun with it, I guarantee you we will up here. So you might as well. The chorus is very easy. You'll pick it up even if you've never heard the song before. It says, "Oh, happy day, you washed my sins away. Oh, happy day, I'll never be the same. Forever, I am changed." And as you've seen different people come through here, we're going to welcome some people you don't see. Recently, we hired a whole bunch of professional musicians. They live on my laptop, and they will be helping us this morning. So while you stand up and get ready to sing, I'll wander over this direction. Well, it is it's an honor. I'm so thankful that you are here today, that you were able to join in the memories. That is just beginning. As we get ready to finish our service this morning, head off into lunch, a couple of things we are going to need to
clear chairs in here. I'm going to pray in just a moment. We're going to clear chairs in here. If you'd like to help, that's great. If not, there are other parts of the building that you can escape to. It's a great time to use the restroom, great time to look, but don't touch on the food. Take a tour of the building. Many of you know, or some of you know anyway, that Al plays the saxophone and has a CD. They have a limited number of CDs if you would like one. See Pam, and she has some here. We have some free resources they still have to see you. Right. Oh, that's true. That's true. If you still own a CD player somewhere in your life, you might find this useful. You can see Pam. We have other free resources in the lobby. Feel free to take a look at those things that we have produced, things that we share around here. And let's have a word of prayer together, and then we will we'll start the dismantling so that we can get to lunch. Sound good? Father, we love you so much. We love you so much, and not nearly as much as you love us. And we're so grateful for the grace that we have sung about, that we've heard about, for the love, for the mercy. And as much as it is a happy day when you washed our sins away, we're looking forward to the day when we find Jesus in the clouds saying, come on home, it's time to go. And we look forward to that day. We look forward to the reunion with so many of our friends and loved ones who are already there. And what a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. And we look forward to that. But for now, until that day comes, we ask that you would help us remember to live in the present, make the decisions of the present, remember the past, and invest into the future, because Jesus said he was coming soon and it's been 2,000 years. And we don't know what kind of time we have left on this planet, but we pray that you would help us invest it in eternity with our time, with the abilities that you give us, with the dollars that we have, so that we can see people come to Jesus Christ and then become full disciples who can share the gospel with others. That's our prayer. That's the prayer of all of us here this morning, Father, I believe. And we are so grateful that we have been able to be a small part of what you have done in the church for the past 2,000 years. And we just thank you for allowing us to serve you in this way. We pray that you would continue to be pleased with our actions, with our words, with our memories, with the laughs, and maybe even the tears this morning, this afternoon. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for being here. And that concludes this part of our morning.